The following is an at-will presentation.
I love girls. I love white girls. I love black girls. I love Asian girls. I love American girls and international girls. I love Midwestern girls and Southern girls. I love rich, white, straight, Jewish girls. I love skinny girls. I love voluptuous girls. I love girls with soft, milky skin. I love vaginas. I love small boobs and small feet. I love pocket-sized princess girls. I love pixies. I love spicy girls. I love spoiled little brat girls with daddy issues. I love funny girls. I love sassy girls. I love girls with stupid laughs. I love loud girls. I love a girl that can cry, unapologetically weep. I love the way a girl's breath smells in the morning. I love girls that love to make love. I love girls with tattoos. I love proud girls. I love girls with and without makeup. I love the way a girl takes her fucking time. I love a girl that's never late. I love girls that have smelly armpits and try to keep the apartment clean. I love girls that wear heels and perfume. I love barefooted granola girls. I love girls that always put cream on their face before bed. I love girls that are organized. I love eccentric, electric girls. I love hipster, hippie girls dripping in style. I love girls that love what they do and who are fucking killing it. I love girls that love and respect themselves. I love girls that love their moms, and I love girls that want to be moms. I love girls that love me. I love girls that want to understand me but don't necessarily need to. I love girls that listen to me. I love girls that tell me what to do.
My name is Nico Tortorella.
Welcome to the Love Bomb.
This is a conversation with a girl I love named Sass. Sass, is that your real name, Sass?
That Sass is not my real name.
Sass is not your real name. What is your real name?
Sari.
Sari.
Not that, Sari.
Savory, like Long Island. Hi, my name is Savory Goldberg.
I'm not from Long Island, that's all I got.
Where are you from?
What city do you love living in so much?
New York City?
Yeah.
Well, that's the same thing.
No, it's not. Check yourself.
Relax for a second. In terms of the way that I say Savory, it's the exact same thing.
I didn't say Sari.
Savory.
Sari.
Savory.
You sound like Jill Zarin when you do it.
Where did Sass come from?
I was like a really feisty baby.
Like, oh, so mom named you, dad named you Sass.
I was really feisty and they used to call me Sass. And then during junior high and high school, my dad had a fast food chain called Sassy Sliders.
Shut up.
True.
Like there were more than one.
There were three.
There were three Sassy
Sliders.
Actually,
no, there were only two at a time because it was always one closing. So two.
Okay. In the city?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. They're not open anymore?
No, he closed it when I was in college.
Does he still make burgers, like, on the reg?
No, he never makes. He's, like, the healthiest eater of all time.
But he had Sassy Sliders?
It was, like, a healthy White Castle, so it was, like, mini veggie burgers, mini turkey burgers.
Oh, that's cute.
It was
I
very
like that
cute.
A lot.
So that, like, really helped it stick.
You're kind of like a mini veggie burger.
They actually made me into a mini veggie burger in, like, a mural on the wall.
That is so weird that I just said that.
I was so adorable.
Are you one of those girls that, like, won't tell me how old she is?
No, not at all.
All right, how old are you?
I am 30.
You're 30 years old?
3-0. I turned 31 in November.
31 in November. So you've been 30 for a minute.
I've been 30 for a hot minute.
Did life, like, change when you turned 30?
No, I think everyone else is making me feel like life changed. Like, I'm feeling, like, really anxious about having kids and things like that, which I think maybe I'm projecting on you, which is why I said that.
Like, I want babies. I feel like my man ovaries are, like, exploding. You want babies?
I want babies for sure. I think there's, like, an intense pressure. For I at least feel like an intense pressure. I want them, but I also feel like you turn 30 and all of a sudden you're like old and your body's old and your ovaries are old. And so like the conversation at the doctor's office changes from like hopeful to be like, here's the real deal. And it's scary. I'm also very anxiety like prone. So anything that could slightly give somebody anxiety will give me like 20 times more anxiety. So I think I internalize it.
Are you a hypochondriac too?
No, I don't always think I'm sick. You would think I'd think that, but no, it's more like terrorism is like.
Oh, you're obsessed with terrorism.
Oh, obsessed.
Yeah.
I am that. Like, they are really speaking to me. Like a lot of news I have to shut off because it makes me so anxious.
I don't watch anything.
I watch everything.
How do you identify as a human being sexually and romantically?
I identify with being a straight heterosexual woman, and I am married for 3 years.
Wow. That's like a dying breed, I feel like.
I know.
The
and
straight
love.
Straight white girl.
I'm straight white girl, and I love being married.
Straight white Jewish girl.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a dying breed. That's how our people were built.
You've been married for 3 years.
I've been dating for 10, my husband for 10 years. We've been together for 10 years, but we've been married 3 of those 10.
So 10 years. Did you meet him in college?
I met him in college. I met him my junior year, his senior year, and I was obsessed.
Tell me.
I mean, what, like, literally look up crazy, like, stalker girl, and it was me. I was, like, swim fan.
Really?
Honestly, yeah. I can only say it now because, like, I got the last laugh, but I was crazy. Like, I mean, I am the exception to the rule. Like, he should have never married me because I was insane.
Wait, like, how? Like, what would you do?
Borderline restraining order.
Like, what?
Like, it was when away messages were really big on AIM.
Okay.
And his away message, I had never been to the library before. Like, I was a theater major. There would be nothing to do in the library. And his away message would say, like, studying, and I would show up there. Or he would say, at the gym, and I would literally put on sneakers and go on the elliptical to, like, see him. I'd be like, oh, my God, that's so weird that you're here. And then it became pretty obvious that I was stalking him, and he wasn't into that.
So, I mean, were you guys, like, friends at this point? Or, no, like, you spotted him somewhere, and it was just game on?
I don't know why it was. Yeah, he did it for me. He really, like, webbed me up. I remember meeting him at a bar, and, like, I decided, I'm going to be obsessed with you. And I really went for it.
I love that.
Yeah, I can only say it now. Like, you know, the entire theme of our wedding speeches were like, remember when Sass stalked Adam? That was, like, the theme of it. I stalked him.
Question, though. Had you been in love with somebody before that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I was much younger, so it was, like, that intense love where you're obsessed and you want to spend every minute together and, like, you want to – I remember we were –
with one person we're talking about in specifically?
I've had several boyfriends. I probably had, like, 3 serious boyfriends before him.
Okay.
And one of them I was dating when I went to college, and my dad drove me from New York to Michigan, and he hated me in that car ride. I cried every second from the car ride from Manhattan to Michigan, weeping and just, like, texting and calling my boyfriend. Probably not texting. We weren't doing that then. Calling.
So you're, like, a, you know, very calm, collected girl.
Yeah, I'm just, like, totally normal. I'm, like, a dream girl.
So how long did it take for you guys to start dating?
We started, like, hooking up in, I don't know, like, this January of my junior year, and we didn't start dating until the following October.
And it was just game on.
No, it wasn't. I would say the first year was really rocky. We always say that our honeymoon phase is like now.
Oh, that's incredible, though.
Yeah, but, like, it was. We were young, and I think in the beginning of our relationship, I was, like, very into doing what he wanted to do. And that's not that I'm not like that as a person, but I feel like I lost my bite. I lost my edge. So it was like, oh, if he told me he was free, I would, like, cancel plans with everyone to show up there. And, like, that's unattractive.
Right. I mean,
at the end of it, it's, like, cute at first, and then it's like, oh, my God, get your friends.
But was he doing the same thing for you, too?
No.
No.
No, 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 no.
Okay.
He was, like, operating as a normal human being, and I was not.
So when did you start operating?
You're gonna like this story. This is, like, so... like, heterosexual Jewish girl quote story right now. We were dating, and then we had, like, a tumultuous – it wasn't working. I was always available, and it was unattractive to him. Like, I get that now, but in my mind he was being an asshole, but that wasn't what was happening. And we broke up, and I remember we broke up for, like, a week, and I went to Michigan with my girlfriends where we went to college, and I was really down on my luck, and it was the same time that Irreplaceable came out by Beyonce.
Yes.
And I remember, like, that song coming on and being like, wait. You must not know about me. And that's, like, what changed it. So thank you, Beyonce. Truly, Beyonce changed my life.
I mean, whose life hasn't she changed, really?
And I quote, when we had our talk after our break, I was like, honestly, in the words of Beyonce, you must not know about me. And then we rode off into the sunset.
When did you guys get married? 3 years ago?
We got married May 18th, 2013.
Where?
Gustavino's or Guastavino's. It's underneath the 59th Street Bridge.
Okay. Here in the city.
Here in the city, yeah.
Great. Were you one of those little girls that was, like, obsessed with a wedding?
No.
No.
No. I wouldn't say I was, like, never getting married, but I never thought about that. I always say to my husband now, like, isn't it weird when we first met, like, we had no idea that, like, we'd marry each other? Which is so weird.
But you kind of apparently had
an
idea.
Well, I didn't know. It's the funny thing. But I didn't know previous to meeting him. I didn't know. When I first met him and I was obsessed, I never thought that, like, this would be the guy I'd marry.
Okay.
Like, I would one day, you know. Alavai have children with him. That's a Yiddish saying.
Alavai.
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 Alavai. Like, and then we'll live, you know, happily ever after and have beautiful children. Alavai.
Alavai, yeah.
Yiddish is the greatest language because you don't have to speak it to know what it means.
Okay, okay, okay.
Like if I say, oh my God, my back hurts, I'm such an alta kaka. What do you think that means?
Old woman.
Yep. There you go.
What's something punim?
Shana punim.
Shana punim. Cute face.
Shana madala. Shana madala. Punim is your face.
Punam face.
Punam. I always look at that Punam.
Okay, so you've been in this relationship for 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your love has changed drastically over those 10 years, or your idea of love?
I don't think my idea of love has changed. I think our relationship has – I mean, we are like – I've never talked about us like this because a lot of our bit, like me and my husband, is like, oh God, gross, like, oh, I'm like, we're not PDA-ish. Like, that's not the way we are at all. But I think we've become, we're a really strong team. Like, yeah. We are a unit. So we are the Sass and Adam team against the world. And that has only solidified as we've, I always say, like, when people ask if I'm married, I'm like, yes. And I really like my choice. Like, I'm really happy with how we picked each other.
I love that response.
Yeah.
Do people get annoyed with it, though?
I'm sure it's like, I could end up being disgusting. I know when to say it.
Yeah, okay.
If someone's like, you know what I mean? Like, I've had terrible Tinder dates. I wouldn't be like, oh, that's weird because me
and
my husband.
I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I would never choose that moment to share that.
But what does love mean to you?
It's a partnership. It's like we are together. We're in it to win it. And we have each other's best interests at heart. So I'm like, we're always thinking throughout the day, like, how does this serve Adam and how does this serve Sass and how does this serve us as like the Simon family household? That's my married name, but oh. I don't go by that professionally.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like on my mail and like airplane tickets, it says Sass Simon.
Sass Simon.
Sass Simon.
Sass Simone.
Yeah.
What do you do? What's your job?
I am an actor and I am a writer. And I also own and I co-own a neon sign business. We do customized neon signs.
Right out of left field.
So all over the goddamn map.
How did you get into that?
About 2 years ago, my sister-in-law had a baby and I really wanted to make a neon sign for his bedroom. So I was like, oh, this will be easy. Let me Google it. And like, you know, the basic bitch of neon signs would come up, like the West Elm of neon.
Right.
Cut to doesn't exist. And all I was getting were like weird home pages that I don't know who designed this website. Right. It felt like it was
They're like Midwestern, like beer sign guys.
Exactly. And it was also made in 1992. Like so much text, all in different fonts. I couldn't read anything. Like it didn't give me the aesthetic that trusted me that like, I got your neon. I know what you want. It didn't feel modern. And I remember calling a few of the places and I was quoted like $3,000, $2,500 to $3,000, which was much more than I wanted to spend. And I also didn't know anything about neon. And I happened to go – I grew up in Manhattan and I went to the High School of Performing Arts. And a friend of mine was also a visual artist from high school. She didn't go to high school with me, but I knew a lot of people in like, you know, in the art worlds in different fields because of high school. And she had neon in her house that she had made. And so I contacted her. I was like, would you ever want to make me a neon sign? And she did. I picked it up. It was like a third of the cost of everyone else. And she totally got my aesthetic. She was like my age, got what I was looking for, something cool and modern. And when I picked it up, I was like, I'm telling you, this is a business. Like, there are so many people that don't know they need neon, but they do need neon.
I mean, I've been looking for one for a long time.
And good luck finding it if it's not with Name Glow.
Well, I grew up in a bar in Chicago, so my mom like had a guy for everything.
But yeah, so we started it, and now it's kind of been a runaway hit. So it's been great.
I love it. Was there a relationship growing up that you looked up to? Are your parents still together?
No.
They're not?
No. But like they had a really easy divorce, like in the sense that I was always told that my dad was the best dad in the world, my mom was the best mom in the world from each other. So like I never kind of felt their negative marriage aspects.
Just not usually the case.
No,
at all.
I got real lucky and my dad lived two blocks away from where my mom did. So like I didn't have that. I don't like, you know,
no harbor resentment.
This like, and the divorce really put me through it at all. Like I remember my dad took me to therapy just like to make sure like I could get my feelings out. And like I was busy not talking about that at all. So it didn't affect me in that way. But is there a relationship I looked up to? That's such a great question. No, I've never thought about that before. But now that I think about it, I'm sure there are. I mean, Barack and Michelle.
Yeah, okay.
Really into that marriage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they got, you know, they came into our lives after I was already with Adam.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there's not somebody specific. It's interesting. I have so many friends who are in so many happy relationships, and they're all so different.
Yeah, for sure. You have a lot of gay friends. True.
Yes, I do. True.
I mean, you are a little bit of a hag of sorts. Would people say that?
I don't know if I like necessarily seek that out. I just have
always. Have you always had gay friends?
Always.
Okay.
Always. I mean, like I grew up, my mom was like, you know, had tons of gay friends. I grew up with more uncles than like anyone in the world. So I remember like after school, she'd be like, Frasier's picking you up on Tuesday. Beau's picking you up on Wednesday. Thomas and Edith. Like I would always have just people coming to, I just had tons of uncles.
Yeah.
That was my life.
Are you aware of equally as successful relationships in the gay community as you are in the straight community?
Yes, I am.
That's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that like unusual?
I mean, I don't know. I guess I didn't really know. I mean, growing up, I didn't know any
gay
people.
Were there not gay people where you are from?
I mean, there were, yeah. But
were
like,
they not out?
I mean, I don't know. My principal in high school, like,
he was gay?
He was trans, actually. Sixth and seventh grade, he was a guy. Eighth grade, he came back as a girl. So, like, we had the community.
Was the school, like, did they do anything to help, like, facilitate that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got a letter in the mail before eighth grade, and there was, like, a big assembly, and, you know, a bunch of kids, me included, got together and, like, supported the whole thing. And but, I mean, there were families that left the district. Oh, yeah. It was, like, a thing. It was, like, a, you know, upper middle class North Shore area of Chicago that, like, still had very traditional mindsets.
Wow. Yeah. I can't believe that. Mm-hmm. Are there articles written about it?
I don't know. I haven't really looked.
It's a woman now?
Dr. Reed. It was okay. Always Dr. Reed, which was great. But I knew that he was gay originally. I spent a lot of time in the principal's office.
Okay.
Like, a lot of time.
Because you were a bad boy?
Well, just, I got, like, the second I stopped playing sports and started doing theater, it was like, oh, Nico's a faggot. So I was spending a lot of time in there. And he was like, oh, let's talk. And I was like, meh. And then that happened.
Did kids tease you about
that? Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it wasn't a problem for me because I was like, I don't fucking care. Like, I don't need to be friends with all the popular dudes. It went from, like, me being friends with all the jocks to me sitting at a table with all the popular girls for lunch. And I was like, this is much better.
Right,
I relate more to you guys anyway. So
sing,
like
chorus line and do all that kind of
exactly.
stuff.
And, like, talk shit about people. It was great.
Oh, great. It's a happy childhood.
But I don't know that I personally know of any gay relationships that, like, I look up to that are really successful.
Oh, I feel like I have a lot of friends that are in really successful gay relationships.
Yeah, that have lasted a long time.
Like, yeah. I don't know what happens behind closed doors, but I guess you don't know the same thing with straight relationships either.
Right.
It just, like, I think it's that partnership thing. Like, that has to – people want a partner.
100%.
A lot of people do. Some people don't.
What's your stance on monogamy?
I'm super into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I could deal with, like, some open relationship, but, you know, more power to you. Like, you know, whatever makes the partnership work. I never understand people who are, like, judgmental about other stuff like that. Like, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Who's begging you to do it?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work for me. I'm like, I think I would be I don't think I'd be able to, like, compartmentalize it. I think it'd make me jealous and resentful. But if it doesn't make that, and you can get your sexual kicks on with somebody else, and you and your spouse or lover don't harbor that, you know, more power to you.
More power, yeah.
It's not. I don't think it's for me. How do you feel about it?
I go back and forth on it. I mean, I have.
Today, what do you think?
I'm all for it right now.
You're all for monogamy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
For sure. I don't have enough energy to give myself to more than one person right now.
So it's more about just,
and
like,
it's not even about sex at all. Like, sex is great. Everybody loves to have sex. But, like, I like to be in relationships with people. And I can't be in a relationship with more than one person at a time is really what it gets down to.
And is the thing with an open relationship, are you in relationships with other people, or, like, are you in a relationship with one person and sexually with other people?
I mean,
or
there's
it's
both.
Always different.
I mean, there's, you know.
And there's throuples.
I mean, just any polyamorous situation, you know, there's just, like, I'm just going to have sex just for sex, and my relationship is just with this other person.
My biggest thing with a throuple, like, that always gets me is, does everyone sleep in the same bed? And for those that do, because I know it's different, I could never sleep. Like, I remember being in a sleepover, and if we even got the big bed, and they'd be like, all right, the three of you gals in the big bed, I'd be like, I don't want to sleep with two other people. Like, one I can totally get down with. I don't want to be in the middle of the bed.
I love being in the middle of three people.
Oh my God.
I was in a throuple for, like, a solid 6 months.
Did you all sleep in the same
bed?
Yeah,
totally.
How does that work? Because even me and
they were two small girls.
Doesn't
even
matter. That doesn't matter. Like, because me and my husband, we argue about, like, TV and volume and air conditioning. And now you're putting a third person in there to put their opinion? And that doesn't even make sense to me.
Yeah. The best part of a throuple, though, is, like, if you are going through something, like, you have two people to go to with it, and, like, two different options. Like, maybe she handles anger and jealousy more than the other person, or you can, like, you know, it's just there's more options.
So,
I don't know. I'm not, like,
could you go in a queen bed with two other people?
Yeah, well, that's what it was. It was a queen bed. I know.
Oh my God. I would never work. I would literally
but, like, at the same time, I love sleeping alone. Like, I think ultimately when I do get married and have kids and have a family. Like, I love the idea of having separate bedrooms.
Do you?
Not to sleep alone every single night, but just for the option of...
Like a la a Claire and like Frank Underwood situation?
I don't know who those people are.
Excuse me? House of Cards.
Oh, yeah, you're embarrassing
yourself.
Sorry,
you work
in
television.
I know. I'm sorry. Speaking of working in television,
yeah,
you're a writer.
I am.
How do you feel love is portrayed like in current media?
I mean, it's interesting because I do think as the way television is moving, there are so many relationships that I identify with.
Right.
That aren't like that didn't used to be the case. You know, like I don't see I think we all want Rachel and Ross or, you know, Deborah Messing and Will and Grace.
Right.
Did they end up together?
They did.
Okay. So like I think that's what everyone thinks it is, but I feel like we're seeing much more real life.
Real relationships.
Yeah, Catastrophe.
Did you watch Love, Judd Apatow show?
I did not. Do you love it?
The show is fucking called Love, and it was literally about the, like, saddest people I've ever seen.
Were they in love?
In my life. No, they weren't.
Hmm.
I'm so confused, because it takes such a fucking bold move to call your show Love, right?
Yeah, totally.
And then to just be about, like, angry, depressed people who are, like, apparently searching for love? I don't know.
That's it funny?
It's funny, yeah. Like, I was entertained, but, like, my idea of love is, like, this big, beautiful, like, you know, over-the-field World Series type of stuff. I just quoted It Takes Two. Get into it.
It Takes Two from...
Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Yeah, got it. Yeah. Is that when they go to camp and they conspire?
Just kiss already.
Yeah. With the stepmom and the iguana goes down her shirt?
No, that's The Parent Trap. People get it confused all the time.
Oh,
that's
my
Lindsay
God,
Lohan.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. When they put the...
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Also one of the greatest movies ever made of all time.
Wait, Dennis Quaid is dad in Parent Trap. Steve Guttenberg is dad in It Takes Two.
Yes, ma'am.
If I remember, It Takes Two has an epic food fight scene.
Epic. Sloppy Joe's.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I love a Sloppy Joe. How do you feel about writing love? Like, what's your...
I you know, I'm a big believer for me. Like, there's all different kind of writers. I'm a write what you know kind of person. So I usually use conversations that Adam, you know, poor Adam, like a lot of his dirty laundry is always aired because that's what I write. If I'm writing a fight between Adam and I, if I'm writing a fight between two characters, I'll kind of go back to a moment that we were arguing. Or if I'm writing something sweet that they're saying, I'll pull it from something he might have said to me like the week beforehand. I'm always believing in like... I'm a big believer in write what you know. Like, that's the only stories I really can tell with, you know, an authentic take.
Yeah. Do you feel like you write struggle more than you write the win?
I feel like a lot of my humor is based on, like, is everyone else catching this? I feel like I'm the only one. Like, my thought process is, like, is anyone else embarrassed but me? So that's, like, always my go-to in writing. Like, oh, my God. These, like, everyone's nuts and I'm normal.
Okay.
But I know I'm nuts.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it. It's just humility.
I'm very into – I have a writing partner, Jake Wilson, and we're both very into, like, small, minor things that make us laugh rather than some, like, huge food fight set piece
right.
scene. Even though I love It Takes Two, I don't think I would have been able to write that scene.
Yeah. No, that's not for us.
No.
We met on one of your projects that you and Jake wrote.
Yes, and we're still working on that.
Yeah. That was actually the first day that we met. I've been hearing about you for years, I feel like.
Years.
No, seriously, though. Really.
And we met there.
And we met that day. I walked in. We were playing.
We got the same salad from Mooncake Foods.
Yeah, and you didn't like it, but I did.
It was gross.
Do you love yourself?
That's such a hard question because, like, no matter how you answer it, you kind of sound like...
No.
I'm happy with who I am.
Yeah. And you always been?
I've always been confident in my own skin. Like, I kind of embrace the fact that I'm short. I don't have the hottest body in the world. I got a sense of humor. Like, I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses and I try to use them as my weapons. So I feel like I've always had a pretty strong sense of that.
Right.
Are there moments I'm like, I wish I could wear that low-cut halter dress? Sure. But that's pretty much where it goes.
Yeah.
I don't ever have this, like, big moment of, like, I wish I was that person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I get it.
I feel like I know who – I feel like knowing who you are is, like, particularly if you're an actor, is, like, your greatest strength.
Oh, 100%.
You know, and also then if you are a writer, writing those kind of roles because they're often not going to be written for you.
Right. Have you always wanted to be an actor?
Yeah. I remember the moment I decided I want to be an actress. Actually, I know the exact moment when it happened. I was at Camp Yomi, which was a day camp through the 92nd Street Y. And every year they have like a lip sync battle where each cabin like does a lip sync. And I was not talented. So let's just go there. Like, I didn't particularly have any more talent than any other nose picking kid in my bunk, but my counselor liked me, Dana, and so we were going to do a Madonna medley, and I was going to play Madonna, and everybody else was going to kind of like back back me up. And remember, I'm six here. So she cast me as Madonna, and I kind of sucked, to be honest with you. I didn't put much energy in. I was very self-conscious. The words were kind of provocative. I didn't know that, but I felt uncomfortable singing some of them. I didn't know the music, and I blew. I really wasn't good, and I got stung by a bee at our final dress rehearsal, and we were never going to win. And I had to go to the infirmary, and Dana had to take me to the infirmary, but rehearsal had to go on, so I went to the infirmary. It took me about 2 hours. No idea why it took that long. I came back, and this girl, Jessica, had taken over my role just for the time being of dress rehearsal to, make sure everyone knew their moves. And I remember as I was coming down the hill, it's so weird how you remember these moments in your life, the entire bunk started screaming, "No to sass! No to sass! Don't let her do it. No to sass." Like a mutiny. God. Like everyone was revolting against me. And I remember in my head being like, okay, they don't think I can win this. You just wait. And we did come in second place. We didn't win.
You must not know about me.
I was the original Beyonce.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And from then on, it was it. And I've always, even as a kid, I'm always a big believer in committing to it. My biggest pet peeve in actors or really anything is when people are commenting on something or they're subtly, you could tell they're uncomfortable with the material. So they want to rush through it, or they want to get through that really awkward dance move they have to do, or whatever it is. I'm all about committing. You're going to dress up for Halloween, dress up.
Yeah, I mean, that's the number one thing I'm attracted to in people is commitment and who you are and what you stand for. And everything.
That's the big thing.
Yeah.
It's not going to be for everyone. But when someone's the big rule if you're an actor or you're a singer to walk into an audition room and be like, "Just so you know, my throat's hurting." That's a really annoying thing to do.
Do not set the fucking audition up like that.
No. And don't apologize for something before you started.
Never.
Do you love music festivals?
I did for a long time. I grew up listening to Fish and, all that shit.
That's legit my nightmare.
I followed String Cheese Incident around the country for a little bit.
Widespread Panic.
Widespread fucking Kelly
Williams. My
first car was a white Range Rover. It was an old one. Okay. I'm not trying to sound like bougie.
You and your limo.
Now. Shut up. No, but I had Fish stickers all over it. I had this fucking one of those neon posters of a caterpillar hitting a bong, and there was incense. I smoke a lot of weed.
Okay.
So you get that.
I'm all about smoking pot. I just don't want to listen to a jam band. I need a 3.5 minute song. That's my wheelhouse. If you're more than 3.5 minutes, I'm not interested.
Have you ever been to a Dave Matthews concert though?
Have I been to a Dave Matthews?
That's a fucking jam band.
I love Dave Matthews. I don't love when he starts on number 41 and is in minute 14. I'm wrap it up. But I do. I've been to probably over 35 Dave Matthews
bands. I've been up there.
We were trying to go this year.
Oh, I love. I was listening to him on the way here. I listened to him all the fucking time.
What's your song?
Christmas song.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice.
Dream Girl.
No, I said one. You already said it.
Yours?
Granny.
Granny's a good one.
Oh, it's so good. Stay is second.
Two Step, anytime it comes on.
Two Step is. Dave Matthews Band is great.
I love Dave Matthews Band.
This is a good story. When I lost my virginity, I made a CD. I burned a CD, and it just had two songs because, it's my first time. And it was Colorblind by Counting Crows and Lover Lay Down by Dave Matthews, just on loop. Okay. Loop. I got through 1.5 loops.
Love that.
And I was like, oh, wait, let me just put this. I knew it was happening. The mood was set.
If there's one song in the world that, defines the love that you believe in, what would it be?
Higher and higher. Your love keeps lifting me higher. That would be it.
She sounded really good.
The acoustics are not bad in this room.
The padded walls.
Yeah, it's the padded walls. That's my favorite song. The second you hear it, it's yes. I want love that makes me feel walking on sunshine. I want that kind of love.
Yeah.
I want pop.
Beyonce, Love on Top.
Oh yes!
Oh my God. 17 key changes.
I don't need a piano. I don't want that. I don't need Tori Amos love. That's not the love I want.
No, I'm not.
But I'm a big fan of her.
But Ben Harper.
Different kind. That's chill love. Let's start a fireplace and maybe, let's get into bed early and tell each other secrets. I don't want to do that either.
Do you think that my openness of where I stand on everything and who I am and who I sleep with and who I fall in love with, do you think it's going to affect my career?
I hope not. It's really shitty if it does. I hope not.
But it might.
It could. It's a really stupid that's the archaic version of what it is. But I think the more people that are out with it and talk about it will take away everyone's thought. The more that everyone talks about it, the more they will become normalized.
Yeah. Visibility. Yeah. It's all about visibility.
All about, that's it. So I hope that you're leading that frontier with the waving a flag.
I don't know what that flag looks like, but I'm waving it.
But a rainbow flag is for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not crazy about a rainbow in general.
Oh, my God. Just, I love rainbows.
Well, no. Real rainbows I'm totally into.
So which rainbows are you talking about?
I guess I'm talking about the rainbow flag. It's just a little too many colors in one.
Would you like it if the flag was, like, more pastel, like muted?
If it was, like, honestly, this is going to sound so annoying, but if it was, like, from black to white and different shades of gray.
So you want an ombre flag?
Yes.
Hey,
but from black to white.
Stop, wait a second.
Neon sign.
That's an incredible neon sign. An ombre. You should start the ombre flag.
Oh, my God.
What do we do? Get someone on the line.
All right. We'll talk about this after this.
Okay, great.
But I like the idea a lot.
An ombre flag. I've never even thought of that, but that's a great thought process. Like, I'm not a rainbow flag. I'm not a solid color flag. I'm an ombre.
How do you feel about all of these subcategories of labels that exist nowadays?
I feel like I need to learn more. I feel like I sometimes feel like I have to mute myself because I don't know what everything means. Actually, I went to something with you where we kind of talked about all these different labels and what they all mean, and I was taught so much. And I think of myself as, like, you know, a pretty open person. I grew up in the city. I've had all different kind of friends. And this was the – it was one time that I was just, like, totally schooled.
Right.
I was like, okay, I don't know any of this. And I don't know how to use any of these words in a sentence confidently.
Yeah.
Like, what was – I don't even know.
Cisgender.
No idea. Tell me.
Pansexual.
I don't know. A lot of them feel like they have the same meaning. So I'm confused about what stipulates, like, one from the other.
Well, cisgender means – it's just the opposite of transgender. Like, you are a cisgender heterosexual female.
Cis, like sister, sister?
C-I-S. Cisgender. You are comfortable in the body that you were born in. Cisgender.
So, okay, got it. I'm cisgender.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, that I understand that. I understand how to use that in a sentence.
Yeah.
Pan-fluid?
Pansexual.
Is there pan-fluid?
Pan-fluid.
Is that a word?
No.
Is there a pan-gender?
No.
Okay,
no.
So pansexual.
Pansexual.
What's
is
that?
A subcategory of bisexual, but it's not necessarily seeing the world as gender binary. So seeing more than two genders that exist in the world.
So bisexual is, like, both open to both genders, but it doesn't see, like, and all the colors in between.
Right.
So it doesn't see the ombre flag.
But there are bisexuals that will argue that we just said that, but...
See, that's the issue.
Well, I mean, the amount of, like, inherent phobia inside of the community is, like, really one of my biggest, if not my only problem with the community itself.
Really?
Yeah, because it sucks. I mean, like...
You mean like judgment based on, like...
Yeah, I mean, the amount of gay men that I've dated that have had a problem with the fact that I date girls too, you know, people have fought so hard to, like, be who they are, right? And if somebody is coming up and is, like, different than that, they will have a problem with it. But, like, I don't know. I could go on for days.
Have you had a lot of threesomes?
Like,
I think you've had, like, thousands.
No, I'm actually not that... sexually,
in my,
like,
mind, you've had you've had 20 but, plus different occasion threesomes.
But that's the thing, is, like, you say you're bisexual, or you say you're fluid, or you say you've dated boys and girls, and that's immediately the first thing. It's like, you have sex with everybody.
No, that's actually not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about you particularly. This is not, like, my thing about
bisexual. You're just thinking about me.
Like, you in your Hare Krishna state are, like, like, just threesoming around the country.
I've had a handful of threesomes.
Like, more than five.
More than five people?
No, more than five different threesomes.
Yes.
Okay, that's several threesomes. That would I'd categorize that as several threesomes.
Yeah, I'm not looking for threesomes.
I didn't say you were, but you've had them.
Yeah, I've had them. I've had foursomes, fivesomes.
Oh, a fivesome. Now, how does that work? You don't all sleep in the same bed.
No, we're not talking. We're not sleeping at this point. It's just like a group situation.
Like is that an orgy?
Yeah, it's an orgy. Yeah.
Huh? Have you ever gone to, like, a party?
No, I've hosted.
Wait, what do you mean you hosted them?
You know, you just didn't.
No, I don't know.
You just, like, send a text message out to a handful of your closest friends.
And you tell them in the text message, like, this is what's going on.
Yeah, hey, sex party tonight.
Stop it. I don't
bring the
you.
Drugs and booze.
Are you serious?
It happened a lot more when I was, like, using drugs and
you
alcohol.
Haven't had a sober sex party.
No.
It's not fun when you're sober.
No, it's.
And everyone writes back, like, all right, I'll bring chips and Molly. Like, what's the response?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part.
Is there any small talk?
Yeah, of course. We're human beings. It's not like open the door and take off your pants.
But, like,
no, we hang out.
I want to know. So can you write this for me? I want to see the moment between, like, hanging to now we're going to fuck. Like, what's that transition?
It just takes one person.
Transition, like, one person to be like, all right, I'm going to drop my pants now.
Yeah, I mean, two people start kissing.
In front of everyone.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I
We're also fucked up. You don't go into these situations
that's true,
sober.
True.
Like, we are close to blacked out fucked up.
That's true.
I mean, all of the group situations that
I've
had.
And everyone leaves.
There are, tons of communities in the city, though. Like, there are sober sex parties.
Is there a party tonight, do you think, in the city?
100,000%. There are clubs that you can join, sex
every
clubs.
Night.
And yeah. People do fucking crazy shit all the time. Have you ever been on Craigslist?
No.
Oh, I
have to sell my couch.
You want some writing material? Go onto Craigslist into the personal sections and just start reading. Oh my, you can find anything that you're looking for.
Really?
I've gone just to look just for the entertainment.
Are there pictures?
Everything that you could imagine.
Freedom of speech, baby.
Yeah, and it's legal.
To each their own. What do I care?
What does it mean to be a straight white woman in 2016?
It means that we have to educate ourselves. I think we have to see if we've experienced privilege. I think we have to recognize it and notice it and help fix that for others. I think we have to take some responsibility.
That they haven't necessarily had to take in the past?
Or that I think a lot of people feel that they're not a part of. What can I do to help? What can I do? But I think that I really want to be part of a solution, not the problem.
Do you feel like you are part of the minority these days because of the way media and pop culture has gone? Do you feel like the straight white girl is...
No.
No?
I don't feel that way. Do you?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't feel
it's just because of the conversations that I'm having on a regular basis and the people that I spend time with.
I wouldn't
say
I'm part of the majority, but I don't feel like a minority either. If anything, I feel like everything is getting – in New York, I see everything.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
So I feel like we all feel like a minority in that sense, but I know we're not. And I do feel like we have to recognize, at least for me personally, I can only speak for me, but recognize, the privilege that I have benefited from. And I think by acknowledging it and then saying I want to change this for the future and change this for my kids and my kids' kids is the first thing we can do.
Totally. Dating a bisexual man. Mm-hmm. Do you think you could ever do it?
Honestly, I don't know. I have to really think about that.
Yeah.
The free spirit love in me says yes. I don't know.
Could you speak to the mindset at all?
I don't know if it would bother me. It wouldn't bother me that they have been with men. That's not the problem. It would be more of this feeling that I would feel self-conscious that I wasn't enough.
Right.
That would be more it. Not that they've been with a male. That wouldn't be what bothers me at all. It would be more I would feel like I wouldn't be enough. It would be more of my self-confidence issues.
I've never really asked anybody that question before.
I've never if I was with somebody and they'd be like, I've been with men before, that would never affect me. That wouldn't turn me off.
I mean, have you heard anything from your gay friends about bisexuals?
No.
No?
No, it's not a big topic of conversation. I don't really have any friends that are – I don't have many friends that are bi.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I mean, what do you think of? What's the first thing you think of when you hear the word bisexual?
What it is into both men and women.
Yeah. But is it a negative or
am I
positive,
oh, please.
Or...
it's a hop, skip, and a jump over to the other land?
Yeah.
No, I don't feel that way.
Okay.
I feel like those people are real open. I wish I was really open. I'm so straight.
How do you feel about straight guys that like it up the tuchus? Have you ever come into contact with them?
I am not an ass play kind of girl.
No?
I can say that with confidence.
Okay.
Not my thing, but
on either sex.
No,
stay away from the butthole.
No, thank you.
Okay,
but I have not been with a guy before. I mean, granted, I've been with my husband for 10 years.
Okay,
I have not been with a man who has requested anything.
All right, hypothetical. You're not married. You start dating this guy.
Okay,
just for a second. Okay, he's like, look, I want you to peg me.
I'm sorry. What's that?
Peg. You put a strap on and fuck him.
That is my rule for anal. I would have anal sex if I could do that to somebody.
You would? You could. You just kind of got into the idea of doing it.
No, not because I want to. I want them to experience what it feels like. They can be I want to do this to somebody else. I think if you can wrap your head around what it feels like, I don't find it enjoyable.
Does the idea of putting a strap on sound enjoyable at all to you?
No. I have bad lower back problems. No, that does not sound enjoyable to me.
All right. Well, Miss,
and on that note,
Miss Zaz Goldberg.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Love Bomb. Make sure you follow everybody on Instagram. You know who I am. And follow at SASGoldie. That's at SASGoldie. And if you ever need a neon sign, you know who to call. It's SAS. Call SAS. Love you guys. Bye.